Praise God. Well, I want to open the Word this morning, and I want to read from the book of Mark this morning, in Mark chapter 14. So you can turn there today. You're going to need your Bible, so I trust that you brought your Bible along this morning. Don't want to make you lazy with the screen. You need to bring your Bible to church. Amen? Amen. But we're going to look at Mark 14 in just a moment. As you know, our theme for the year is grow. It's the name of the church, but also our theme for the year is grow. And you know that there's four aspects to that. There's growing people, there's releasing ministry, outreaching globally, and worshipping together. And I want to start focusing now on that aspect now of releasing ministry. Releasing ministry. I want to start having a look at that particular area out of our four areas that make up the word grow. And so we're going to have a look at that. There's a scripture in Ephesians 4:16. Just want to read that first of all. It says, "From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So it talks about growing. It talks about us growing as a body. We've been talking about growing spiritually, but it also talks about us growing together spiritually, but also growing collectively as a body, building itself up in love as each part does its work. We had a great time yesterday morning. Pastor John had a big grin on his face yesterday morning. We had a I don't know how much, Pastor John, but it's probably a couple of tons, do you reckon, of rubble and bricks and all the fences. The fences were taken down before they fell down. They obviously need to be replaced as part of the extension, which is going really well. The multi-purpose room's going really well. And it's just great to see the guys get in there. And a lot of people working together makes a big job a little job. I think that was knocked off in, half an hour or so, that job or whatever. It was pretty quick. And a mountain of concrete, mountain of bricks, and it was fantastic just to see everyone working together and just working as a team. Lewis was at the fence there with just the side there, and we had a big skip loading stuff on. He had a large section of fence, and we're going to lift it. He goes, "Oh, it's pretty heavy, Pastor Chris. We'll get a couple more guys." And so it's amazing. We've got another couple of guys. We lifted it up. I thought, "Wow, we're going to throw it up in the sky." It's amazing, just extra couple of guys adding their strength to the burden. It make the burden so light. It's quite amazing. And we, every one of us, have something that God has required of us to do, has made us to do, has equipped us to do, and to be involved in doing. And so I want to talk about that, how that every one of us has an important part to play in the kingdom of God. Every one of us. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Sometimes people use that as an excuse. I'm going through a really difficult time at the moment. All the pressure's got all this crowding in about me. How can I serve the Lord? Well, just remember when Jesus was on the road to the cross, we just had Easter, when he was walking along there, he was stopping and taking time with people. He was healing people. You think if anyone has a problem, he knows with a sense of foreboding about what he was going to. But despite everything, he was able to minister. On the cross, he's hanging there in agony, and he takes a moment and he says to John, the disciple John, he says to him, "John, behold your mother," pointing to Mary. "Mary, behold your son." He was concerned about his mum. He was concerned about looking after her and concerned about that while he's hanging in agony upon the cross. And so we can never use that as an excuse, because there will always be challenges in life. But God has equipped and called every one of us to serve him. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And that's what we've celebrated at Easter, Jesus dying on the cross in our place for our sins. And not only just still hanging on the cross, but he was risen again to eternal life. And he did that just for us. He alone is our salvation. And so that is really the heart of service, is demonstrated in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was God. He came down as God. Could have snapped his fingers. Jesus said, "I could just call 10,000 angels, bang, a legion of angels, bang, at my feet. No problems." But he didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And so I want to have a look at this remarkable passage in Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. I want to have a talk about this, and I just want to reflect on this. Let's read it together. Mark 14, I'm reading from Mark 14, verses 1 to 11. It's not on the screen, but it's on your Bible in front of you. Amen? Amen. Amen. "Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was only 2 days away. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. And while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper," which is pretty amazing that Jesus was doing that. He's hanging out at a leper's place. Lepers were treated like lepers. in the home of a man known as Simon the leper. A woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. And some of those presents were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, Jesus said. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. And they were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. And so this is quite a remarkable story. It's a story that it says that whenever the gospel is preached, across time, across the world, this lady will be remembered for what she has done. Well, this lady, we're told actually in John chapter 12, is not some mysterious mystery woman that appeared. It's actually Mary, who was the sister of Lazarus, also the sister of Martha. So you've got Martha and Mary and Lazarus, their brother. And this is Mary. John chapter 12 identifies this lady as Mary. Now, don't get confused when you read this story. In the Gospel, this one story is recounted three times, but there's another one in Luke 7 which is not the same story. It's a different person. That's not Mary. That's a sinful woman, different time, different place, different circumstances. That's where the lady came and she anointed Jesus' feet, and then she was crying and she wiped Jesus' his feet with her hair. Different story. So don't get those mixed up. But this is a very powerful story. And if you can just imagine that, Jesus is there reclining. There's Lazarus, who's been risen from the dead. And people were actually quite amazed at him, because they all knew he was dead. They saw that Lazarus had been risen up by Jesus. It even says in one of the Gospels that the chief priests were actually thinking, we better knock this guy off too, because he's sort of living proof of Jesus. But there they are. They're just sitting, reclining down as they would. So they're sort of laying down in a semi-reclined position, as they would do in that way. And she comes, and so his feet and hair, very easily accessible, came and anointed him and let it run down him. A very extravagant gesture. One of the things that really gets me about this is that really what this lady had done to Jesus, and makes me really think about even your worship time this morning. Just think about, I just want you to think about it. Would someone say your worship today, this day, not about yesterday, but today, now, this morning, is your worship, was it extravagant to Jesus? Would people look at you and say, wow, look at the way you're worshiping? Would they say that about you? Would they say that about me? And not that you're doing it for what people would say, but it's what is in your heart. Because certainly what this lady did, Mary did here, what she did was she was not looking for what anyone else was saying. In fact, what everyone else was saying, they were down on it, actually hanging it on her, because she was in there, boots and all. But she wasn't interested about that. She was just doing something very, very precious. And so the question I want to ask, I want to look at four things today. The first question is, how much is Jesus worth to you? How much is Jesus worth? Now, if I was to say, how much is Jesus worth? You're all going to say, oh, he's worth everything to me. But is he really everything to you? Is he really everything to you? Because you'll know even today how much, whether your heart was in worship today. Is he really my everything? Because it's one thing to say that, to put our hands in the air and say, Jesus is everything to me. But it's very easy to say, but every day, is he everything to us? How much is Jesus worth to you? So Mary was obviously sitting there. She'd heard what Jesus had said. She knew that Jesus was going off. He was going to die. And so she thought, well, what can I do for Jesus? What can I do? And so she went and found the most extravagant gift of this incredible perfume. It was a beautiful smelling, an aromatic mixture, a blend that was put together, this nard that they made. And she had it, and she came and anointed Jesus with that. And it was very, very expensive. It says that it was worth a whole year's wages. Now, I don't know what the average wage is now. I think the average wage is over $50,000. Not that many people probably get that. We probably don't get that. But that's about the average wage these days, 50,000. Can you imagine if I got a $50,000 jar of perfume, and I rocked up to you and just went, broke it off, and then poured all over your head. Now, that's exactly what you did. A whole year's wages, 300 denarii, 300 of that, which was a whole year's wages, incredibly expensive. And so she comes and she just pours the whole thing on Jesus. And in fact, the bottles were made in such a way that when to open it, you had to actually break the neck of it, and the whole contents were coming out. You just didn't keep a lot of it. So once she'd used that, once she started it, she was committed. She was committed. Once it's used, she's opened it, she's used it, and so she used the whole thing. And it says there was this incredible indignation that rises up against it. Well, the other Gospels tell us that it says the disciples were saying, "What on earth are you doing? What extravagance is this? This is 50 grand, a whole year's wages, and you've gone and just wasted that. You've wasted it," they said. "They've put it on Jesus. You've wasted that." And it actually tells us in the other Gospels, that one of the other Gospels, it tells us that it was actually mainly Judas was the one who was really started it all. He's the one who's saying, "What a waste, you know, this could have been worth a lot of money." And it says, well, he's actually, because he was in charge of the treasury, and he actually had his hand in the offering bag as it went around. In fact, he kept the offering bag and he was dipping into it. And so he wasn't actually interested in the poor at all. He was really interested in his little cut that he would steal. And so that was his heart. But what is Jesus worth to you? See, to Mary, Jesus was worth everything. And she said, "Jesus, you're everything to me." And she meant that. And so she does this extravagant gesture, gets this jar and breaks it and pours it upon Jesus. And she gets told off from it, but she's not interested in that. But contrast that. So it's an interesting little contrast. We read what Mary does as she breaks open this jar of perfume over Jesus. But then you have a look immediately after that. You have this incredible, extravagant act of love, and that's really what it is. Your worship is always an act of love. And so this incredible act of worship, this act of love to Jesus is extravagant. And who's there? Well, Judas is there. And he witnesses somebody being extravagant with their love. And it's at that time, he gets up and says, goes off, and he begins to plot and make plans to get some money to betray Jesus. And he says, "Look, I'm going to betray Jesus." They say, "Yeah, guys, that's great here." And they offer him the 30 pieces of silver. And it's quite amazing when you consider the amount of money that Judas was offered to betray Jesus, the 30 pieces of silver. Because 30 pieces of silver is significant what that amount represents. It wasn't a significant amount of money. What it was is that if you had a bull, and that bull went crazy and it gored and killed a slave, then as compensation for that, for the loss of the slave, you've lost one of your goods and chattels, one of your pieces of labouring equipment, a slave, and that's what slaves were treated basically as. You've lost your slave. Then to compensate for the loss of the slave, the price of a slave is 30 shekels, 30 pieces of silver. And so basically that's how much Judas valued Jesus as at. This lady says, "Lord, you're everything I could possibly have, all that I have, everything, something wonderful, Lord, I give you the very best I have and I give it to you." And what value did Judas put on Jesus? Well, that was the price that they put upon him. And it says in Zechariah 11, 13, there's that story about the potter, and it's like the Lord speaking prophetically. He says, 30 pieces, and almost with a hint of sarcasm, it says, that handsome price that they paid for me. And that's all it was, all that he was worth. In fact, the difference was that Mary thought he was worth everything, but Jesus was not even, well, worth about like a slave at the end of the day when Judas. What is Jesus worth to you? What is Jesus worth to you? How much do you really love Jesus? You're going to be challenged when you do that 1 month to live course when we go through that. How much is Jesus really worth? Is he worth everything to you? Is he really worth everything to you? Because that's proven by your actions, not just by your words. It's how you live your life. That's what it comes down to. And Mary demonstrated this. She was extravagant in her love and demonstrated that. It's a parable in Matthew 13:44. It'll come up on the screen. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And so it's saying this guy, he's found this, wow. He sells everything else to buy the field because he wants to get this treasure that he found. It was worth everything to him. And that's what it's like when we're in the kingdom of God. It's worth everything to us. Very easy to say, yes, Lord, you're everything to me. But is he really? You know how much he is to you, depending on where you spend your time, where you spend your money, where your heart is, what your attitude is. You know that. You know that. And really, this act of love that Mary does here when she gives this expensive perfume, it really exposes the heart of some of the others, because they say, oh, what a waste. What a waste. You've wasted it on Jesus. What a waste. I mean, what a contrast. But how much is Jesus really worth to you? I want to ask you that question this morning. It's very easy to say, yes, you're everything to me, but does your life prove that? Does our lives prove that? Jesus, you're everything to me. Because it really is showing an incredible, extravagant love towards him and his kingdom. The other thing I wanted to say about here is that Mary's focus was on Jesus Christ when all this was going on. See, they're all around there. The men are there. The men would have been there. The ladies wouldn't have been hanging around, sitting around the table, because that was part of their culture. So the men are there. And the men are all there. The ladies might have been off serving and preparing and doing whatever else that they were doing. But she comes in, she violates this space, comes in there, doesn't really look at anyone else, doesn't really care about what anyone else is saying, not interested in what anyone else is thinking. Her focus 100% is on Jesus and loving and worshipping him. And so she comes down there and she gets this jar, breaks it open and pours the contents to anoint Jesus on the head. And immediately, there's obviously the reaction, as we've already spoken about. They're indignant. It doesn't say that's the questioning. It says they're quite outraged. They're quite angry. They're saying, well, indignantly, the word says in here, they're indignant. They're angry. What do you think you're doing, woman? You crazy, silly woman. What a waste. Why are you doing such a thing? And they're quite angry. They're quite upset. Starts out with Judas, but the other Gospels say the disciples, so they got in and on it too. Yeah, what a waste. What are you doing? What are you thinking about? But even in the middle of doing that, she's not interested in them. She's able to come into that space, and her eye is on Jesus Christ. Her focus is on loving and worshipping Jesus. She's not interested in what these guys are saying. And they're already starting to hang it on her as she's letting that oil just to come flow down there. And her focus always has got to be on Jesus. If you're going to serve the Lord with your life, then you've got to stop looking at other people. Quite often you can look at other people, you can compare to people, and you say, well, I can't do this just like that. I can't, you know, I can't do what this person can do. I can't do what that one can do. Well, that's fantastic that you can't, because you're not made to, and they can't do what you can do either. And that's good, because you're made to do what you're supposed to do, and they're made to do what they're supposed to do. You cannot focus on anyone else. But our focus has got to be on Jesus, about pleasing Jesus, about worshipping Jesus. And we worship Jesus not just with our hands and our words and our hearts, but also with our action. And this was very much a loving act. It was a part of service as she came and anointed him. And Jesus says to her, he says, this is a beautiful thing. You've actually prepared my body for burial. She had no idea what she was doing. She just knew that she loved Jesus. She just knew that she loved him with all her heart, and she wanted, how do I honor him? Well, I've got this jar, and it's worth a lot of money. It's worth about 50 grand, but she takes it and she anoints Jesus with that. And if our heart is purely under the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to naturally love people. You're going to naturally serve God. You're going to naturally put things first, because put him first, because he is everything to us. Our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, is our focus upon him. It's interesting that when she was just interested in Jesus, she didn't have to stand up and say, you guys, you haven't listened to what Jesus has been talking about. He's told you that he's going to be killed and he's going to die, but he's going to raise up again a third time. How many times has he told you that? You haven't listened to that. And here I am, but I'm preparing Jesus for burial, anointing him. None of you. She doesn't say a word. She doesn't have to jump to her defense, because when your eyes and your heart are focusing on Jesus, who is the one that defends you? Jesus is your defender. Sometimes we get all caught up in all sorts of stuff, saying, it's not fair, it's not right, and we feel that we have to. She doesn't. She's just captivated by Jesus. Your eyes are on Jesus, and that's how we have to be. Let Jesus speak on your behalf. Jesus speaks with such incredible authority. When you're going through a difficult situation, let him silence them. And he did silence them. They're all carrying on and saying, yeah, it's all this. And Jesus says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. What she's done is a good thing. And Jesus is the one who will speak to you. Some of you are going through hard times and struggles, and you think you have to rise up and defend yourself. And no, no, no. Just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on him. Let him speak on your behalf. You stand up there and you get all flustered and get all upset. Maybe say things you don't mean to say, do things you don't even want to do. But your eyes are on Jesus. Let him be your defender. Let him speak on your behalf. Hebrews 12:2 encourages, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Don't be worried about what other people do. Don't ever compare yourself to other people. Don't make comparisons. You're different because God wants you to be different. He made you the way you are. He's made you unique. Just focus on him. Don't be focusing on people. Don't make comparisons. Just keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you do that, then you'll find that the Lord, he is your defender. When you go through difficult times, well, he's the one who goes into bat for you. He's the one who helps you out. When you're going through a struggle, you just keep your eyes upon him. That's where your heart and attention, our focus needs to be. The other thing this passage tells me, and remember this is a significant passage because Jesus said that what she's done, it's going to be wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told. So this is like a living memorial to her. She's actually made a legacy that is going to go through time and has. We're talking about it today. But Jesus said, whenever the gospel's preached, when the kingdom of God, the heart of what this lady has done, this is a part of the heart of the kingdom of God. And so it is certainly significant to us. And one of the other things that poses the question to us is, well, first of all, how much is Jesus worth? And how much are we really focused? But the question also we need to ask ourselves, at the end of the day, when it comes to our relationship with God and living and being a part of the kingdom of God, are we a giver or are we a taker in the kingdom of God? Are we a giver or are we a taker? See, there's a huge contrast here when we look at the heart of Mary and you have a look at the heart of Judas. Because Mary, she just wanted to love Jesus and she wanted to give whatever she had. Her heart was to give. Her heart was to serve. And Jesus said of her service to him, it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing what she did. But are we a giver or are we a taker? So she came and she gave to Jesus this very expensive perfume, probably worth more than anything else that they would own. And she's taken that and she's used that to anoint Jesus. But contrast that. So her heart, when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to Jesus, is, Lord, what can I bring? Lord, what can I do? What can I give? How can I contribute? What contribution can I make to you, Lord? What can I do? How can I help? How can I serve? What can I do? That's her heart. But you have a look at Judas. Judas is not thinking there, Lord, what can I do? He's thinking, well, hang on. What can I actually get out of Jesus? And so he goes off to the priests, the chief priests there, talks to them. And what he can get out of Jesus? Well, he can get 30 pieces of silver, 30 shekels is what he can get for Jesus. That's what he can get out of him. And it's always a good test in our own heart. What is my relationship with God like? How do we approach God? Do we approach God, Lord, I just want to love you for who you are. Lord, I want to worship you for who you are. Or is it, do we always come to the Lord and say, Lord, well, what can I get out of you? Lord, I want your blessing. I want this. I want that. Lord, what can I get out of you, God? What can I get? What benefit can I get? I come along to the church service. What am I going to take home today? Or is it when I come to the church? Or what can I bring? How can I bless other people? You bless people when you're worshiping with all your heart. You lift your voice. You are an incredible blessing. Whether you can sing or not, as your spirit rises up, you cause other people to rise in the presence of God. You add something incredibly. Can you bring that? Well, what is it? What is it your heart to bring? Or is it just always about me? I'm going through a hard time. I'm struggling. I've got difficulties. I've got problems. Now, God is so loving and gracious. He will meet us at our point of difficulty. If we're going through struggles and having a hard time, He's there for us. He is always there for us. He doesn't have to prove that to us. He's already shown it on the cross. I am there for you to the point of my own death and His own resurrection, but to whatever it costs, He is there for us. So we never have to question that. He is always there. He's always gracious. And it's fine to say, Lord, I'm going through a hard time. Say, Lord, help me. Scripture encourages us. Philippians tells us, it says to bring our prayers and requests before God. And so we encourage to do that. We ask God. He wants us to pray. He wants us to exercise faith. All of those things are good. But overriding that has to be the heart that says, Lord, I just love you for who you are. Lord, I love you for who you are, just loving you, Lord. Not what I can get from you, Lord. Not what you will give me. Not what blessing I would have. But, Lord, I just love you for who you are. Where's our heart this morning in that? Because if we've got a heart to give, we'll say, we'll get in there. We'll have a heart to serve. You know, to your coffee roster comes out, man, where's my name? I'm on the list. Where can I get in and serve? What can I do? How can I help? Because I'm here because I'm a giver. I'm not here to take, and I'm not going to try to get some value, get something, but I'm actually here to give. And as I give, I'm actually given far more. I'm actually blessed. As you give out, as you bless, as you love people, whether they're people in the church or outside, you're showing the love of Christ, you actually will be enriched incredibly more. But where is our heart? Philippians 2:17 says, but even, this is Paul talking, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. So Paul looks at his life, and even towards the end of his life, he says, look, I've been poured out my life. I've lived my life. I've just been poured out like an offering at the end of his life. That's how he spoke. And his life was poured out. And Mary has this expensive jar, and it's full of this very nice-smelling aromatic perfume, and she has it poured out. But Paul says, well, I don't actually maybe have a jar of perfume, but I have a life. And what he did, he poured his life out for Christ. He gave everything. He says, how much is Jesus worth? He's worth everything. Well, Paul actually proved that. He lived his life and he poured his life out as an offering unto the Lord. Is our life like that? That we pour our life out as an offering unto the Lord? Is we living our life as an acceptable sacrifice unto Him? Do we pour our life out? Is our life like that? Is your life like that? Is that going to be said of you when the end of your life comes? Will people say, boy, this person, they love the Lord extravagantly. Just as Mary was extravagant with her love, this person was extravagant in their love for the Lord. This person lived their life, poured their life out for the Lord to show and demonstrate the love of Christ. Will it be said of us? Will it be said of me? Will it be said of us here? I pray that it is, because we're here not just to take. We're here to give. We're here to give, to show the love of Christ that we've so freely been given. So many ways that you can show the love of Jesus Christ. And I encourage every one of us to be doing that. Final thing I want to say in this passage, and I love this phrase, where it says that Jesus, when Jesus said to her, says, leave her alone, why are you bothering her? This is verse 6. She has done a beautiful thing to me. Poor you will always have with you. You can help them at any time you want, but you will not always have me. So we still need to help the poor. We need to help the poor. We need to have a heart for people. But but it says in verse 8, she did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I love those words. She did what she could. See, God doesn't ask you to do what you cannot do. God doesn't ask that of us. He doesn't ask you to be who you're not. He doesn't ask you to do what you can't do. But what you can do, whatever we can do, then that's what we bring. Says she did what she could. Well, what can you do? And we can all do some amazing things if we allow God to open our heart and to use us. We've got a little booklet that's out now, and there's just a few copies of this, so leaders, don't grab one. You probably don't need one. But if you're saying, Lord, what can I do to help? Lord, I want to serve in some way. I want to bring my love into the community. I want to help in some way. How can I do that? But we've got a little booklet here now which actually tells you how you can get involved. All many, many different ways that you can be involved in serving and outreaching into the community. So I encourage you, if you're not involved in some way, and you think, oh no, I'm too busy, I do this, I do that, well, let's cut through all of that and say, no, Lord, I really do want to do something. I really want to make a difference in the kingdom of God, but I'm really not sure where to go. I'm not really sure how to do that. I'm not really sure where all of that fits in. Well, then grab a hold of this and have a look through it, and there will be somewhere in here where you can get involved and where you can show the love of Christ in that way. You might not have a 50 grand jar of perfume kicking around the house. I know I certainly don't. But I can help in some way, and every one of us can. So I encourage you to get one of those if you want to be involved and really show your love. Do what you can. Jesus said it's a beautiful thing she has done. Will it be said of you, would Jesus say, of what you do for him? Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. Because little simple things can be such a beautiful thing. One of the things I just really want to put up a little photograph. Can we just put this photograph up? A little photograph should pop up. You might not be able to see this photograph, but it's a photograph of some people in the Philippines, and there's a little sign there right in the middle there, and it says, Worship Team Seminar Participants, thank you, Brother Peter Reddick. Now, Peter Reddick is someone that's in the church. I don't think he's here today. I haven't seen him today. But he's been going off to the Philippines, and what could Peter bring? What could he do? Well, he had a heart. He just loves God with all his heart, just wanted to serve God, had the opportunity to go off to the Philippines. So he went down there, and just loving God. He's not trained in particular things. I helped him with some stuff, coached him with some preaching and things like that, those kind of things. Well, he's gone over there, and he's made an incredible difference over there. They're actually his sermons, which he's got me to go through them and check them, and I taught him a few things, but he went through all of that. They're actually using them as those home group study notes. The pastor's got it. Other pastors have grabbed some of his messages and they're preaching them in other churches in the Philippines. And so God can use anybody. God can use anyone. And I'll honor Peter for his heart, because he just loves God. He just has a real heart to love God. And if you have a heart to love God, God can use you in ways that maybe other people might not expect you to be used. If you had to ask me, and I'd said this to Peter before, 2 or 3 years ago, would I see Peter going overseas and having such an impact? And all honestly, I would have said, oh, Peter, you know, look, maybe I'm not quite sure whether, you know, this is necessarily your deal. But God has used him, and I've encouraged him because I've worked with him and encouraged him. And so this whole seminar has grown up. So I think there's 11 churches represented there, just simply because he went over there. And they've had a whole music seminar. He took them Planet Shakers music, took them Hillsong music, and had a real impact. You can make an impact. Never judge sometimes. Sometimes we can judge ourselves and think, well, gee, I can't really do anything. And sometimes we think, well, look, I don't look the part, I don't feel the part or whatever. I just want to show you a little clip. Now, this clip I'm about to show you, this lady in this clip, I don't know whether she's a Christian or not. Some of you might have read about it in the paper. It's been on YouTube. It's had about 30 million hits now. People that are Twittering, I'm not a twit myself, but those who Twitter, it is the topic of Twitter. It's this very unlikely lady who has got an incredible talent that God has given. I just want to show this clip and then we'll just talk about it. So let's just put this clip on.
All right, what's your name, darling?
My name is Susan Boyle.
Okay, Susan, where are you from?
I am from Blackburn near Bathgate, West Lothian.
It's a big town.
It's a sort of collection of... It's a collection of... villages. I had to think there.
And how old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me.
Okay, what's the dream?
I'm trying to be a professional singer.
And why hasn't it worked out so far, Susan?
I've never been given the chance before, but here's hoping it'll change.
Okay, and who would you like to be as successful as?
Elaine Page.
Elaine Page.
What are you going to sing tonight?
I'm going to sing I Dreamed a Dream from the Miserables.
Okay.
Big song.
Yeah? Yes.
I I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Susan Peers.
Without a doubt, that was the biggest surprise I have had in 3 years on this show. When you stood there with that cheeky grin and said, I want to be like Elaine Page, everyone was laughing at you. No one is laughing now. That was stunning, an incredible performance. Amazing. I'm reeling from shock about you two, but
I am so thrilled because I know that everybody was against you. I honestly think that we were all being very cynical, and I think that's the biggest wake-up call ever. And I just want to say that it was a complete privilege listening to that. It was
Susan, I knew the minute you walked out on that stage that we were going to hear something extraordinary, and I was right.
Not a lot of touch.
Susan, you are a little tiger, aren't you?
No, I don't know about that.
You are? I don't know about that. Okay, moment of truth. Here's yes or no.
The biggest yes I have ever given anybody.
Amanda?
Yes, definitely. Brilliant.
Amanda, you too!
Susan Boyle, you can go back to the village with your head held high. It's three yeses.
Just shows, you know, that people judged her because she didn't look, you know, she wasn't a young, beautiful model singing, but she had a passion in her heart. Pastor John tells me she actually does sing in a church choir, so she does go to church, so those who know a little bit more than I do. But I'm just really challenged by that. And maybe you're there and other people maybe have judged you unfairly. Maybe they've said, oh, no, look, you just can't do anything. Or maybe you felt well, I don't look the part. I don't feel that I could do that. Well, God has given you a gift within your heart and your life. And he's got that call upon every one of us. We're not all the same. We're not all different. We all can't sing like her. I know I can't. But God has got something special within you. And it's our heart to see that release, that you will be what God has made you to be and to release what God has put in you. And the people will look at you and be amazed. Peter Reddick, I've said it to him. He's not here today, but I've said it to him before. I said, I'm just so impressed with him because his heart, it's all heart, a lot of heart in there. But through the heart of loving God, and just like Mary, who just, Jesus was everything, focus on Jesus, use an incredible way. And all of us, God wants to use. The challenge is today, how much is Jesus worth to you? Are you really looking on Jesus, or your eyes are on all the problems, or on other people, every other excuse you can think of? What? Where are your eyes? Are you taking, are you a taker, or are you a giver? Where are you? Where's your heart in that? And just to do what you can. Jesus said to her, she's done a beautiful thing. She did what she could. Well, you can do something. You can do something. What is that thing that you can do? And to bring that, and bring it, whatever it is, and have Jesus say of that gift, that is a beautiful thing, what you have done. A beautiful thing. It can be a simple thing. Matthew 10:42 says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is known to me, my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly be rewarded. Could be just a cup of water. Could be serving on the tea or coffee roster. Jesus honors that the same as a 50 grand bottle of perfume. He honors that. Just something very, very simple. An act of love to someone within the church family, someone out in the community, showing the love of Christ. Jesus honors that. And Matthew 25:40 says, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. So what are you going to do for Jesus this week? What are you going to do with Jesus today? What are you going to do for him? What are you going to do? You've all been called of God to do that. And I pray that you love Jesus enough. You say, yes, Lord, this day I'm going to show you love. I'm going to do what I can. I might not think I can do an awful lot, but what I can, I'm going to do that, Lord, and have you honor that and say, what a beautiful thing. So let's stand to our feet. I want to close in prayer this morning. But let's encourage every one of us to be involved. Be involved. Don't just come along every Sunday and off you go. You're not sure where you can help. Well, grab a hold of one of those. And one of these little releasing ministry books. Find out how you can be involved in serving in the church, outreaching the community. Get involved. So many ways. Let's just pray. Father, Lord, we just thank you as we're here today. Lord, we just thank you for your great love that you've shown us. Lord, what is more extravagant than you to die on the cross for us, Lord? Lord, that you would suffer such an incredible death on the cross, Lord, that we've just celebrated at Easter, Father, that you did that, Lord Jesus, on the cross for us. How extravagant is your love? How great is your love? And Lord, we want to be extravagant, Lord, in our love and our service of you. Father, the people, we're not just doing what's expected of us. We're not just doing the minimum, what's acceptable. But Lord, let us be extravagant, Lord, in our love, Lord. And Lord, let us not worry about what anyone else says or what anyone else thinks. Lord, let us just honor you, Lord, and have our thoughts and our focus upon you, Lord, that we would love you. And Father, I pray, Lord, let every pair of hands that are here, Lord, every set of hands that are here, even standing now, Father, with people that are standing, Lord, with their hands even before you, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you use every set of hands to show your love and to show your grace. Father, that we will be servants of you, Lord, that we will be actively, Lord, showing your love, Lord, about, Lord, even as was done to you, Lord, but even as you've done to us, Lord, unreservedly. So, Father, stir our hearts, Lord, let us be challenged this day. And, Father, I pray, Lord, again, for all those that may be going through a difficult time, Lord, that they will, Lord, just keep their eyes upon Jesus, Lord. Let you be their defender. Lord, you're the one that comes to the defense. You're the one that comes and helps us, Lord. And Father, pray for anyone that is struggling, Lord, that right now, Lord, that you'll come to their defense, Lord, that you'll speak the word that needs to be spoken, Lord, that you'll touch the situation that needs to be touched, Lord, that you'll deal with the things that need to be dealt with, Lord. And we just leave that in your hands this day. But Lord, we just want to love you and honor you, Father. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone that is here today, Lord, that has never given their heart to you, they may believe in God, they may go to church every week, but they've never said, no, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. Father, I pray, Lord, even as they come forward this morning, Lord, that they will come to know Jesus Christ this day, Father. So, Lord, we commit our hearts to you. And, Father, let our lives be lived as an extravagant gift of worship to you. Father, we pray that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.